while, but we are back. But it almost seems like we haven't been away because we left in mobile phone season. We return in mobile phone season.
Yeah, I don't think mobile phone season ends, actually.
I think it is pretty continuous at this point. It's just new phone after new phone after new phone. So, of course, perhaps the new phone we should be talking about is the new Samsung phones.
Yes, the Galaxy S... A million are we on now?
I think we're on 7. We're on the 7...
7.
And the S7 Edge.
Yeah.
I think
the Edge.
To coin a phrase that's been banding about with the last Apple sort of financial results, I think I've reached peak smartphone.
Really?
I'm not even too fussed now. You know,
you're out smartphoned.
I'm out smartphone because I honestly think the Nexus line for me, being the 6P and the 5X.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's just they're so great or they're good enough, but I'm just not seeing why we need a shinier Android phone versus those phones.
I think I can answer that question for you.
Okay.
It's because you need to have the shiny new hotness.
Well, perhaps that's true. But I think my recent experience of Android have just disappointed me so much.
Yeah.
That I'm just not getting excited by Android.
Oh, man.
I know, because Android's like, well, it's not even an underdog, is it? Because it's the biggest selling.
Yeah. Although it is viewed as such in a lot of ways.
Yeah, but it's definitely not the underdog. It's the most popular phone. But for me, it's still the underdog in terms of being an inclusive phone.
Right.
It's not there. Every time I buy one, I get disappointed. Every time there's a new phone announced, I think, oh, yeah, great. Oh, maybe it'll have some new features. No, it doesn't really have any new features that make it easy for me to use.
Yeah.
So I think I'm just beginning to switch off just a little bit. Because I'll be honest with you, what is the S7's even flagship feature? What makes the S7 the S7?
I'm going to be honest with you. I think in a similar way, I've kind of switched off to what they're announcing as being the new features, because I'm just like, well, it looks like the S6 in the fact that it's got there's the Edge iteration.
Do you know what?
As well as the normal phone. And other than that, meh.
It's just popped in my head, some of the features. They've brought back the features that everyone loved about the S5, but they've removed on the S6.
Yes. So they've brought back the removable battery.
Yeah, waterproof.
Waterproofing.
Although, have you heard about the waterproof with the charging issue?
No.
Someone received their S7 slightly early. So straight away, dunked it underwater. Because it's IP68 rated, which basically means dustproof. And I think that means water resistant to a meter, maybe.
Okay.
I can't remember the exact standard. So yeah, they put it underwater. Yeah, great, phone works. So they pulled it out of the water, and then they thought, I'll charge my phone.
Oh, immediately.
I don't know if it was immediately or, you know, within a short period of time. But then it flashed up a really interesting message that said, you know, too wet to quick charge, I believe.
Okay. That's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool. Although now, even when they allow the phone to dry, it no longer quick charges.
Oh.
So it was cool up until the point that quick charge doesn't work. But arguably, it should be made very clear that you don't dunk your phone in water and then plug it straight into power.
Yeah.
You'd have thought common sense would prevail.
You would, but unfortunately, this is the world, and there's lots of people in it. And when you get lots of people, there's an interesting cross-section of intelligence and common sense.
That is all I know about the S7. I honestly saw the announcement. In fact, you know what? I was actually at an event in Vegas during the announcement, and I was talking to someone that was still under NDA.
Oh no.
And they weren't allowed to mention the name of the phone, even though I was stood talking to them, saying the name of the phone.
That's worse. That's really weird.
And they were saying, yeah, that's that phone that you just mentioned, da 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 da. Oh. I was like, wow, you are really sticking to the NDA religiously here. I said, it's just been announced. I said, look, it's there, look. But no, they were religiously sticking to their NDA.
That's impressive.
And I was really impressed, actually. I think it's because we were kind of being filmed. So perhaps they didn't want to mention while being filmed, just in case.
Yeah. I think the one thing that would put me off more than anything is the fact that, from what I hear, the larger sized phone, you have to have the edge. There's no larger sized version of it that doesn't have the edge combo to it.
Really? Are they trying to make that the distinctive feature in terms of, you know, like iPhone do with the S? It's bigger, better camera, da 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 da. So it's bigger, you get this, this, and this. Buy the bigger one. So since the hiatus, Neil, technology, what have you been using, what have you been buying, what have you been liking?
Around Christmas time, I think it was, my TV remote just decided to stop working. So I thought, oh, I'm going to have to buy a universal remote.
Yeah.
And I thought, if I'm going to buy a universal remote, I want to get one that is universal and will actually control multiple devices. So I bought myself a Harmony remote.
Cool.
I got the Harmony 350, which is the bottom end of the scale of the Harmony remotes, but it's really, really nice.
You say bottom of scale, what's that in terms of price?
Well, if you buy from Harmony Direct in the UK, it was advertised as £40.
Yeah.
But I looked on Amazon and got it for £25.
In that, how much, like one of those just random, ugly buttoned?
Probably.
That's what I was going to say back.
Yeah. And it, like I say, it is really nice. Forget having to scan through multiple codes and stuff to try and find the right TV or the right device. Mm. Sitting there for ages doing a weird button combination on the remote.
249182 hash.
Okay. None of that. You get the product number off the back of your TV or off the bottom of your Xbox or from your Apple TV or whatever. Put it into the app on your computer that you download, then connect the Harmony remote by a USB cable, and it just downloads the right profiles onto the remote.
That is pretty cool.
And then, because it's got things like you can turn on multiple devices with one button press, so I've got mine set up so that with the one button press, I'll turn on my TV and my Apple TV. You choose how to do all those profiles in the app on your computer.
So you say one button press. Could I have multiple buttons on the remote that are one button press programmatical?
It depends what remote you get. The 350, there's only one. Okay. But I believe some of the higher ones up the range, there's multiple programmable ones.
Yeah.
But the other cool thing that I really like about it is, well, is, you know, when you've got like say if you've got like Sky or cable or whatever, you've got your TV volume and there's also the individual box has got its own volume, so you end up in this kind of battle of which one's high and which one's low and trying to figure it all out.
Yeah. You
can put it so that when you're say for example you've got Sky, you're in the mode where the buttons will work for your Sky and not for your TV.
Yeah.
You can program the volume buttons separately so that they will control your TV volume regardless of what mode you're in on the remote.
I see. I'm really lucky. All my devices only control the volume on the TV.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think I've just looked out more than anything that the devices I've chosen do that.
Yeah.
Because I know my parents have that problem.
Yeah.
Where then they have to do button combinations on the remote to then get the volume right, and it's a nightmare.
It can be a nightmare, but yeah, the Harmony remote just kind of fixes all that, so that's really cool. It's worked out really well for me because I don't have an actual like TV or like a cable box or a Sky or anything that I'm needing to control.
Yeah.
I find the remote is a bit big for my liking, but that's because it's got all the number buttons on it. Right. So for me, I'd probably prefer a smaller remote because I don't actually need those buttons in any way, shape or form. But other than that, it's really, really nice. I'm really happy with it.
Yeah, I must admit, I struggle now with other remotes. And I'm more tempted by the Harmony Hub and the Blaster.
Yes.
So then I can use the iPhone then, you know, control all my systems. Yeah. That for me is a better user interface than trying to find it. Because, well, for starters, since I can't see the remotes to find the remotes, it definitely makes it a challenge sometimes to find the Sky remote, because I can't count the number of times I've had to ring up Sean and go, Sean, have you any idea where the remote control is?
Yeah, and there is a lot of buttons on the Harmony remote, and that's purely because it is so customizable, because you can do so many different cool things with it that you can't do with other remotes, as well as having the functionality of a normal remote as well. Like I say, for me, for my personal use, I prefer something a bit smaller and without those number buttons, but it is a really, really nice piece of kit. If you ever need to replace a remote, I would recommend getting a Harmony.
Well, I know Harmony spoke about phasing out their hardware remotes.
Yeah.
And the uproar from the community.
Yeah.
Made them keep the physical remotes.
Yeah, I know they're big in America. I'm not quite sure how big they are over here in the UK.
I think as I get more and more into my... Because perhaps I should mention what technology I've been buying over the Christmas period. I've been blending very old technology with cutting edge technology. I thought I'd buy a Sonos, so I bought the Play 5. Incredibly accessible. I've got access to all the music services I use because Apple Music's on there now. It even streams music from my Pi in FLAC. Then I thought, how can I make this totally inaccessible? I put a turntable on it. I then bought a turntable, and I've turned into one of those people that now raves about how much better the audio quality of vinyl is.
Have you become an audiophile?
At the very low, cheap end of that spectrum. Although I have already been to a few listening rooms to listen to high-end audio kit, and as soon as you hear it, you do think, maybe I could spend this much money on that. And I think if I got a little deeper into it, perhaps then something like physical Harmony would be quite useful, you know, like flicking inputs and things like that. Whereas right now, I think I'd probably prefer the iPhone Harmony. But no, I am really enjoying the Sonos. Fantastic piece of kit. Can't recommend it anymore. It's just wow. It's great.
Yeah.
It's one of the only devices apart from Apple where I took it out of the box myself and set it up from scratch.
Oh, wow.
With no sighted assistance. Took it out of the box. There's one cable. Well, actually, there's two cables if you're going to use Ethernet. But I was using Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
You just plug it in. You load the Sonos app on your phone or your iPad, it finds it, you put it onto your network, you press one button, which I quickly figured out because there's only one button on it. So you couldn't really go wrong, you had to press the right button. And yeah, done. And then accessing the music, phenomenally accessible, it's great. Honestly, just the sound quality is superb as well.
Yeah.
Well, I say it's superb until you go to the listening room and listen to some very expensive speakers wired to a very expensive amp, and you think,
So how do you get the Sonos to change the record on your turntable?
Now, what I do, I've got this special little robot.
Is it called a Wurlitzer?
No, there's no way around that, really. What is kind of cool is it detects that the vinyl's playing and automatically changes source.
Oh, very nice.
So that's kind of cool. Because what you can do as well, you know, let's say you've got a multi-room setup.
Yeah.
You can say that as soon as it detects the record playing, which room, or if it goes to all rooms. So that's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool.
It is kind of cool, but I decided not to buy very many pieces of vinyl, you know, keep it real sort of one or two albums, you know, to really get the experience.
Yeah.
And then I was 60 days in and I think I've got 32 albums. So it got out of hand.
Yeah, restraint and you.
Yeah, it really jumped up a notch to the point that then I had to go out and buy furniture to fit all the records in.
Oh, for a minute I was like, why does he need a special listening chair?
Well, you do need a listening chair. But so now I've had to buy furniture. And yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I'm still trying to find a really great way to manage the vinyl.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of me knowing which side I'm putting on and which album I'm picking out. But that's an ongoing thing that I'm working towards. But no, Sonos, it's great.
Yeah, you could do with was it RFID tagging stuff we were talking about on one of the earlier podcasts?
Well, I would do that, but it doesn't exist on the iPhone.
No.
So then I would have to buy an Android especially for that. And some of the records I've got, Neil, are very collectible. I wouldn't like to put any RFID tags on them.
you
really get into this thing where I'm scanning everything into Discogs and then it tells you the value of your collection.
Right.
So at any point in time, you can see what the current market value is for your records. And it's great, like, you go out and you buy a record for £1 and then you're like, oh my God, it's worth a fortune.
What, like £3?
No, I bought a record for £1 and it was worth £80.
Wow, that's impressive.
I bought one for £10 and it was worth £150.
No, that's some good going, actually. I'm quite impressed.
So I did quite well on those few records. And then I thought I'd got the bargain of a century on a Tool record. And
all right.
I spoke to the guy about it. We agreed what record it was. Rookie mistake. He didn't have it on him. But he owns a record shop.
Okay.
So I said, okay, I'll have it. Paid and posted it. And then it came and it wasn't the one we spoke about. And I was like, you swine. So now I have an unofficial version of the album. Which is a little frustrating, but one of those things. It's adding to the collection, because I'm trying to buy Tool's entire discography, so I'm just seeing it as... It is listed as an unofficial album.
Yeah.
So I'll take that. But we're kind of moving away from technology a little bit.
We're going back in time.
We are. Definitely. Well, I've also been buying tape as well.
As in cassette tapes that you listen to?
Yeah. I don't actually have a cassette player yet.
Right.
But I've been collecting tapes that I really want. Because it's actually harder to find a good cassette player than it is a record player.
Okay.
People just seem to have thrown them out, so they're really quite difficult to get hold of.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Do you know what was occurred to me, actually, only today, about not audio cassettes, but video cassettes? I don't know why, but I was in my head. You know, I don't know if other people do this. Maybe it's just me. But I was walking along having a kind of a conversation with myself in my brain. And I was just thinking about the fact that back when I were a lad, in the 80s and possibly early 90s as well, all films were 90 minutes long.
To fit on the tape.
Exactly, yeah. And that was it. Just in my head, I was like, that would... It not really occurred to me before, and I was just like, that was probably because of a restriction of how big the spool was.
Maybe you could put the tapes onto long play.
Yes. Yes, long play and short play, crikey, yeah.
Yeah. So you could, what, did it double it?
I think it did, yeah. It did. You got an 8-hour cassette for a 4-hour cassette when you were recording at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, I was. What was I looking at long play for? Because I was looking at long play for something the other day. I can't remember what it was. But Other technology then, other technology, Neil. I ordered it today, actually. What I was looking for, and it actually harks back to this old technology versus new technology.
Yeah.
I wanted an audio recorder, a portable audio recorder, that you pressed one button, instantly recording, record the message, release the board and stop recording.
The kind that you used to get with an actual cassette in it, so you'd just press the record button.
Yeah.
Because it was like a mini tape recorder.
Try and find one.
What, right now?
Well, try and find one right now. I spent hours.
Really?
Looking into this. Pretty much does not exist.
No way. They were so prevalent. They were, you used to fall over them in the street.
It's because now they all have operating systems. So they have a boot up time. So you turn it on, it boots up, then you can start recording. And I was just thinking, why can I not find an instant on digital audio recorder? Hopefully someone out there might know of one and can recommend one to me.
Yeah.
But the way, or the workaround I've found is, I have bought one recommended by the wire cutter, actually.
Oh, yeah.
That has a 75-hour battery life.
So you just leave it on all the time?
So I'm leaving it on.
Fair enough.
And that's the solution, because you can make it so it only records when it hears a voice.
Yeah.
So I am just going to leave it on all the time, and then it's going to pick up the conversation. I just thought, this is a terrible workaround.
It's not the best, is it?
No. And obviously now, from an accessibility standpoint, that's terrible, because I'm never going to know if it's working.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to make the assumption that it's working. The only ones I could find, because there is a caveat here, that do instant recording.
Yeah.
Was classed as spy equipment. So I found this one that was tiny.
Was it built into a baseball cap?
Well, lots of them are actually built into pens, the instant ones.
Yeah.
But I found one that wasn't built into a pen, and it weighs nothing.
Yeah.
And God, it can pick stuff up from like 30 to 50 feet away. Really impressive. But then, because it was like a no-brand, random spy kit from China.
Yeah.
I was like, can I honestly trust this to work? Because the audio I'm recording is while I'm out in the desert, so I don't want it to not work.
Yeah.
It's a one-shot thing. It's not like I'm going to re-record it. It absolutely has to work. So then you almost want that brand recognition of a company that knows recording audio.
Yeah.
So I settled on a Sony, just because I thought they've been doing it a long time. These guys know what they're doing. And the one I found was actually really clever. Good piece of tech. You put in, it takes one AAA battery. But if you put in a rechargeable battery, you can recharge it over USB.
Oh, that's nice.
I was like, that's a nice little touch. But the great thing about it just being a battery is, because I'm in the desert, I can just take three batteries with me.
Yeah.
Drop a new battery in, drop a new battery in, drop a new battery in.
That's cool.
So I've almost had to go old battery technology with new recording technology. But what I would prefer, actually, is ancient tape cassette recording, because it's instant on.
Yeah.
But then, there must still exist, because can you imagine the scenarios like a doctor, or I imagine in a morgue?
Yeah.
But I think the morgues now actually have it mic'd up.
I was going to say, I think it's more room scale, isn't it?
It just records when you talk now.
Yeah. Or so TV shows have led me to believe.
Yeah. I've watched enough episodes of Bones.
I've seen enough episodes of NCIS.
But it's just strikes me, as technology moves on, that use case has not improved. It's got worse.
Yeah.
It's no longer instant recording. We've now got delays. And there were a few that seemed to suggest they did it. But then when I read the tech specs, they were talking about boot up times. I was like, how many of these have I got to buy to test to find out
which one's got the shortest boot up time?
Who's got the shortest boot up time? So I just decided, let's get the one with the best battery life and just turn it on all the time.
Fair enough.
That seems like a ludicrous solution to what seems like a very simple
problem. Are we talking single seconds or tens of seconds for a boot up? I mean,
3 seconds.
Three, that's not too bad.
One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi. I could have missed out on some piece of audio gold.
It's unlikely, though.
It is unlikely, boy. What I did find interesting is then it even spoke about, because it's expandable memory.
Yeah.
Then that affects the boot up time if you put an SD card in. It doubles the boot up time.
It's got to load up. Yeah, it's got to load up the card, hasn't it?
It goes from 3 seconds to 6 seconds. And then I was butting up against the wall of how many files you're allowed in a folder.
What?
Yep, a lot of them are restricted to 199 recordings.
Is that really an issue?
Well, I don't know what happens if I speak for 2 seconds and this event takes place over 150 hours. So there's a possibility that I could butt up against 199.
Okay.
I don't think I will, but it did worry me. And you know what it's like when you read the spec sheet, then you read another spec sheet. One does 199 and another does 400. You think, we'll go for the 400 then, because it's more than double.
Yeah.
And you get drawn into it. So that's the technology I've been using. That's the technology I've been looking at buying, even though I literally did click buy just before we came on.
Right.
Other stuff I've been excited by. A new Raspberry Pi.
Oh, yeah.
Can't stop releasing these things.
Three.
And it doesn't seem like too long ago where I was buying the original Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
And I actually sat down and realised that I've owned every Pi, because I'm going to buy the three, apart from the Raspberry Pi Zero.
Yeah.
I didn't appreciate just how loyal I'd become to this small computing device.
They are pretty awesome.
But now, same price point, $35. Now we're up to a quad-core CPU, a gigabyte of RAM, Wi-Fi, and Bluetooth.
It just seems crazy.
It's
so cheap.
The suggestion is now that it is close to a PC replacement.
Yeah.
Which...
I mean, you know, you're not going to be playing any serious games on it or anything, but...
I think by PC replacement we're talking you can surf the internet, you can type a text document, exactly, send an email. We're not playing Assassin's Creed.
No.
Or Minecraft. Although the Raspberry Pi 2 could run a very basic version of Minecraft.
I was going to say, you can't be that far off Minecraft.
So maybe the new version is capable, because a quad core with a gig of RAM is getting close to mobile phone specs. Yeah,
definitely.
So it would be interesting to see if Minecraft does run, because they do a special version for Raspberry Pi, I believe. Mm. I'll have to look into that. But no, I'm just so amazed. $35. Hang on. Cough. Able to produce it. It's fantastic. Getting into schools, you know, as an entry point into computing. Yeah. Is it an IoT device now, an Internet of Things device? It's...
I hate that so much.
You know, it's one of those things, because the acronym for it almost takes as long to say Internet of Things.
Yeah, like www.
Yeah, well, I got shown to www, didn't it, to try and make it quicker?
No. No, it didn't.
Not in your book. I was at a tech event today, and the stand, because I was on one of the stands for a while.
Yeah.
And the stand next to us was IoT.
I hate it's so meaningless. I hate it.
Do you know what? It nearly kicked off. It nearly kicked off.
Why?
I was with a group of people, and let's say it was Brand X. Their main competitor was on the brand opposite us.
Right.
They were throwing things at us.
Really?
And they hit me with a dart.
What?
You know, like a sponge dart.
All right, a sponge dart, okay.
Yeah, but obviously because I couldn't see it coming, And then one of them made a joke about close your eyes. And it honestly nearly kicked off.
Ooh.
Because there was a lot of people, you know, on our side, and obviously a lot of people in that event centre.
Yeah.
You, I can't see. And I don't know if these guys clicked on.
Yeah.
I couldn't see it, or if they're having a dig, but yeah, it's like, ooh, this is going to be a tech riot.
Rumble.
We're going to have a tech rumble. Let's have a robot face off.
Format wars.
Well, yeah, definitely IoT.
Ugh.
It's going to be big, Neil.
I know, but I don't like what's the alternative? Connected home. Again, that sounds rubbish as well. I don't like it. It just, think of a better name. Somebody,
did
please.
Do you like a smartphone when they called them smartphones, though?
I didn't really have an issue with that particularly.
I honestly can't remember if I disagreed with the term smartphone.
No. I remember when they introduced HDTVs. I believe I tweeted it out as well. I was like, I hope they go with the Street Fighter naming scheme for TVs from this point on, like HD HD plus Alpha.
They pretty much did.
Hyper Fighter Edition, you know.
We're going to have Hyper K before you know it.
Oh, God. That's gross.
Do you know what? I did jump up to Blu-ray, but now I've stepped back down to DVD.
Yeah. I've never made the leap to Blu-ray. I've never seen the need.
The only reason I've stepped back down to DVD is because for me to make these things accessible, I have to rip them to my computer.
Ah, right. Yeah.
And I just don't own a Blu-ray player. And also, they've just changed the Blu-ray specs, and now you can't actually rip Blu-rays. The newer Blu-rays. Yeah. So physical media, it's a pain. It's a pain. That's why I bought lots of vinyl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you had any other tech successes or nightmares? I've had a tiny, tiny nightmare that made me strop a little bit.
I've probably filmed some tech across the room. I'm still continuing to love the iPad Pro.
Yeah.
I had a bit of tech fail on the train today. Got on the train, realised I'd forgot to charge my iPhone overnight. No fear, I've got my 21,000 mAh battery in my bag. Oh, Grayson had it out of my bag to charge the iPad. No! So I had massive battery anxiety, but we all have battery anxiety, don't we?
Yeah, of course we do.
Constant plague. So what's your tech frustration been?
I've started running again recently, until I threw my back out at the weekend, and I was using RunKeeper, and because I've got a Pebble Steel, I was linking the two things up so I could see my time and my pace and everything on my Pebble. That was really, really nice, until about 10 minutes into the run my Pebble died, despite the fact that it was on about 75% battery before I set off.
See, another battery complaint.
And I'm just absolutely baffled by how that's possible.
Software error. It was reporting the battery is full when it wasn't.
Possibly, I don't know. But it's annoyed me, and I haven't put my Pebble on since.
I'm still not wearing the Apple Watch.
You know,
can't get used to charging it. Well, although I've said that, I can't even seem to get used to charging my iPhone at the minute. So. But I do want to get back into using it. If I could remember to charge it.
Yeah, I think having multiple daily charging devices is going to be a bit of a hassle.
I think it'll be far easier if we ever get to true wireless charging.
Yeah.
So whether they can just sit on my bedside table
and charge. So you've either got like a mat that can charge multiple devices at once, or the IKEA way of it, and it just having a bedside table that the top is a charging mat.
Well, Apple's got the patent on that one that doesn't even need the mat.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So you just put it near the plug socket and it'd work.
Yeah.
So if that comes out, that probably will change the way I use a lot of my devices, and I'll never forget to charge again.
No, because you just take them off and that's that.
Yeah, and it's done. I can't think of any other tech news. Well, there's been lots of tech news, but I don't think we can really compress 3 months of news into...
No, it's been a while, hasn't it?
It's been a while. We just struggled with time, didn't we?
Yeah.
Being away a lot.
Christmas.
Christmas, but now we're back into the swing of it, Neil.
Yep.
We're back on it. I'm sure there's going to be lots of tech news this week. Pretty sure there'll be some Apple events coming up soon.
You thought you got rid of us, but it's not that easy.
We'll be back complaining. Oh God, do you know what?
Go on.
Two updates that obviously our podcast always had. I had a big burger run while I was out in America the other week.
Oh, no.
I was jealous. Shake Shack. Controversial. Shake Shack's better. Absolutely. Mm. I was a big fan of In-N-Out, but I paid $35 for a taxi to take me to In-N-Out to buy a $3 burger. And then I was disappointed because Shake Shack. Now I think Shake Shack's got the crown now.
Do you not think your experience was tainted by that?
What, the cost?
Yeah.
No, I wasn't too fussed about the cost of the taxi, to be honest, because, well, it was a business expense. I had to go out for business lunch. No, I don't think the cost of the taxi really did make me think too much about the burger, because I didn't have a car, so we were having to get taxis everywhere.
Yeah.
So it was just, you know, that's how much the tax cost on that particular trip. But yeah, controversial. I think Shake Shack's better. I also had my first chicken and waffles.
Right.
Amazing. I also found my perfect robot.
Perfect robot.
Perfect robot. It's called Nicole. She can sing Taylor Swift songs.
Oh, no.
And dance to Taylor Swift.
It's not Tech Enthusiast without a mention of Taylor Swift. That's the real reason we've been on hiatus. There's not been any Taylor Swift news.
I know there hasn't. Well, that robot, $8,000.
$8,000?
$8,000.
Does it do things other than dance to Taylor Swift?
Yeah, it's incredible. It's...
saying that as being the spec sheet. It's incredible.
It can do a lot of natural language processing.
All right,
it can answer
cool.
any questions, you know, that any of the digital assistants can.
Yeah.
It's got a little personality. Its articulation is incredible.
Yeah.
And it's definitely worth looking up. Try and put a link in. It's called Nicole. It's made by IBM. And it uses Watson.
Oh, yeah.
As its sort of data source.
Cool.
And it can do incredible things. And the idea is that the larger version of Nicole is going to be in banks and shops, and it's going to be the customer point of interaction.
Right.
So it's a very impressive robot, but obviously made more impressive by the fact it you know what, I think I might have a video of it dancing to Taylor Swift somewhere. I'll have to try and dig it out. But that was my quick burger Taylor Swift robot roundup.
We need a musical sting for the burger update and Taylor Swift updates.
I'm trying to think, when will my next burger... I might be down in London later this week. I'll try and hit up Shake Shack.
Fair enough. Okay. All right, well, we'll wrap it up there for tonight. So, yeah, we are in all the usual places, which I've probably forgotten myself. But you'll be able to find us on Facebook, find us on Twitter. We'll be uploading the audio all over the place, including YouTube and a couple of other places where you can get us on RSS on iTunes, or just get the RSS link from the website, techenthusiast.com. I'm Neil.
I'm Simon.
And that's it for this week. Goodbye.